Welcome to the 5-Minute Murder podcast from 5minutemurder.com, where each week we take a look at a murder, a murderer, an assassination or a serial killer in about 5 minutes. If you enjoy the show and would like to support us, why not consider buying us a coffee? Head on over to 5minutemurder.com/coffee to see how. This is episode 27, The Murder of Julia Wallace. The murder of Julia Wallace in 1931 remains one of the most perplexing unsolved crimes in British history. A case filled with strange circumstances, contradictory evidence, and legal twists, it has baffled detectives, criminologists, and true crime enthusiasts for nearly a century. The mystery surrounding her death continues to inspire debate, with theories ranging from an elaborate conspiracy to a perfect crime gone wrong. Julia Wallace was the wife of William Herbert Wallace, an insurance agent living in Liverpool. The couple lived a modest but comfortable life at 29 Wolverton Street in the Anfield district of the city. On the evening of the 19th of January 1931, William attended his usual chess club meeting at the Liverpool Central Chess Club. Before the game began, he was handed a message from the club's captain, who told him that someone had called the chess club earlier that evening, leaving a message for Wallace. The caller, identifying himself as R.M. Qualtrough, had requested that Wallace visit an address at 25 Menlove Gardens East the following night at 7:30 p.m. to discuss an insurance policy. This message would become one of the central enigmas of the case. Wallace had no knowledge of a Mr. Qualtrough, but the request seemed plausible, so he set out to find the address the next evening. However, upon arriving in the area, he discovered that there was no Menlove Gardens East, only north, south, and west. After asking around and failing to locate the non-existent address, Wallace returned home, arriving shortly after 8:30 p.m. Upon entering the house, he found his wife, Julia, lying dead in the sitting room. She had been brutally bludgeoned to death, her head bearing multiple wounds inflicted with a blunt object. The scene was gruesome, but there were no clear signs of forced entry or robbery, raising questions about whether the killer had been known to her. The investigation quickly turned to Wallace himself. Detectives found the circumstances surrounding the murder highly suspicious. The mysterious phone call, which lured Wallace away from home at precisely the time his wife was killed, seemed either an incredibly convenient alibi or the work of a very clever third party. The police also found it odd that Wallace displayed little emotion upon discovering Julia's body, and that he had been unable to provide a satisfactory explanation for his whereabouts during the time of the murder. Adding to the mystery, phone records indicated that the call to the chess club had been made from a public telephone box located near Wallace's home. If he had placed the call himself, it would mean he had constructed an elaborate scheme to provide himself with an alibi before murdering his wife. The police were convinced of his guilt, despite a lack of direct forensic evidence. They arrested Wallace and charged him with Julia's murder. The trial took place in April 1931, and despite the circumstantial nature of the evidence, Wallace was found guilty and sentenced to death. However, the conviction was short-lived. His defence team appealed the verdict, arguing that the evidence against him was purely speculative and did not prove his guilt beyond reasonable doubt. The Court of Criminal Appeal agreed, and in a historic decision, Wallace's conviction was overturned. This was one of the first instances in British legal history where a murder conviction was quashed due to insufficient evidence. Despite his release, Wallace was never truly free from suspicion. Many believed he had indeed masterminded the crime, using the fake phone call as an alibi before killing Julia himself. Others argued that an unknown third party, possibly a burglar or someone with a personal vendetta, had committed the murder while Wallace was out. One theory suggested that a former colleague, Richard Gordon Parry, might have been responsible. Parry had previously worked with Wallace at the Prudential Insurance Company and was known to have had financial troubles. Some speculated that he may have been attempting to steal money from Wallace's home, only to be interrupted by Julia, whom he then killed in panic. Another peculiar aspect of the case was the missing murder weapon. Although Wallace was known to own a metal rod that could have inflicted the wounds seen on Julia, it was never found. The absence of bloodstains on Wallace's clothing also cast doubt on his involvement. Given the brutality of the attack, it seemed unlikely that the killer could have left the scene without being covered in blood. Wallace, though legally cleared, was never able to shake the stigma of the crime. He attempted to resume his life, but his health declined, and he died in 1933, just 2 years after Julia's murder. His death did nothing to settle the mystery, and in the decades since, numerous theories have emerged, but no definitive answer has been found. The murder of Julia Wallace remains one of Britain's greatest unsolved crimes. It is a case that has fascinated crime writers and investigators for nearly a century, not only because of the brutal nature of the killing, but also due to the sheer strangeness of the circumstances surrounding it. Was Wallace a calculating murderer who devised the perfect alibi? Or was he an innocent man ensnared in a crime beyond his comprehension? The answer remains elusive, and the mystery endures. I hope you enjoyed that episode of the 5-Minute Murder podcast from 5minutemurder.com. If you did, why not leave us a review wherever you get your podcasts? And don't forget to subscribe so you don't miss any future episodes. If you would like to support us more directly, please consider buying us a coffee. Head on over to 5minutemurder.com/coffee to see how. Also, please check out our other 5-Minute podcasts. You will find them all at 5minuteproductions.com. Thanks for listening, and I'll see you next time.